UFO lobbyist down there in Washington, D.C., out there in California, and joining us on the line from down there in California. Good evening, Steve Bassett.
Hi, Earl. I am on San Pedro Peninsula, just north of Long Beach, overlooking the ocean and Catalina Island.
Are you still recovering from the expat conference in Washington? Or?
Oh, yes. And this is going to help me recover, let me tell you.
I bet it is.
The ocean is about 20 feet away and off the porch here. And sunset is just starting to happen.
I bet it's going to be gorgeous, too.
So this is nice. This is good. I'm glad to be here. It's a pleasure. One of my supporters is helping me, and I'm visiting.
Good. So what are you up to in California, Steve?
Well, I've been on an extended speaking tour, which is going to go all the way through November, as well as trying to raise money for PRG and XPAC. I mean, I've got to raise, about 50-some thousand to get the previous conference closed out, to get reset up in Washington, and launch the second one properly so that everything is going to go without any difficulties and we're locked down. And so I've been meeting with people all over the Southwest. I've been in Phoenix. I've been in Roswell. I've been in Denver. I spoke in Roswell at the Ancient of Days conference there that Guy Malone put on. That went very well.
Mm-hmm.
Then I spoke at MUFON at Denver at their National Symposium July 16th.
How was that?
That went very well. I learned when I got there that Dan Aykroyd has become now the official spokesperson for MUFON. So he's extending his interest and involvement into this field. He had great presentations. Bob and Terry Brown put on the AV for them. You know, they do the Laughlin Conference every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice turnout, wonderful banquet. John Schuster did a fantastic job, all of his people. John is really a forward-looking guy, and he's trying new innovations. He's trying to attract young people. They've hired a public relations firm out of Philadelphia to sort of create a stronger brand name for MUFON. So there's some changes going on there.
Good.
And I gave a presentation on exopolitics, as always, but at the end of that, I put a challenge out to MUFON, and this is MUFON International, the whole enchilada, that they needed to maybe add some new stuff to their mission statement. And I talked to them about 501(c)(3)s, which are an IRS issue down here in terms of organizations and their tax-free status. Charities, most charities are 501(c)(3)s. And it turns out that if you examine the law carefully, they can actually do quite a bit of lobbying. In fact, under a 1976 law, they can have 20% of their money can go to straight lobbying if it's properly accounted for and segregated out. And then all educational work is not considered lobbying. So you can do a tremendous amount of advocacy within a 501(c), which is what MUFON is.
As long as you can raise the money in order to be able to do that.
Well, my challenge to them was this, that they needed to take the political aspects on. They needed to become a political organization as well as a science organization.
Mm-hmm.
To go out and get 90,000 new members, but not new investigators, 90,000 members to help make them an important political force on this subject and advocating in Washington and the whole nine yards. This is what ARP does, the Association of Retired People here, which is a huge political power.
Mm-hmm.
Their membership is primarily for one reason, to influence policy. MUFON can do the same thing. This is how they can increase their membership. This is how they can expand their mandate. And I challenge them to do this, and I think they're giving it serious consideration.
That is good to hear. It was moribund, I think is the expression. For several years, it was really going nowhere.
All organizations have their ups and downs, but they've been waning in membership for some
mm-hmm,
time.
Very much so.
They've investigated the thing to death. After you've seen 10,000 saucer investigation cases, I mean, you've seen them all, right?
But pretty much.
There's much more work to do.
As long as all those cases have been seen and can be seen to be seen and are available to be seen, yeah. And apparently they're organizing that too, putting everything into a database, I hear.
Well, they continue. I certainly didn't discourage them from continuing to do investigation. They are the most recognized, best-known organization in the world on the subject, and they could have enormous political influence. And, of course, it's ladies who get members. Not everybody's ready to go out in the boondocks and check out saucer sightings or investigate, but there's plenty of people that want to see this thing move forward and want to influence policy on this. And if MUFON gets people to join on that basis, then they have an unlimited membership potential. I think they should have 100,000 members, to be honest with you, given the importance of the issue. So this is what went down in Denver. I then moved on and went back down to Albuquerque, went up to visit my friend Shirley McLean, talked to her about the X conference, gave her a bririefing
mm-hmm.
of 5 hours. Then went back to Phoenix, met some people there, and then I've come over to California. where eventually I will be speaking at three conferences, Paraworld Expo, which is, I think, October 24, and then the National UFO Conference, which is 29th through the 31st October, an interesting way to spend Halloween, and then I'll be speaking at the Crash Retrieval Conference, Majestic Documents, that the Woods hold in Las Vegas. That's in November 14th. And then I'll be continuing to speak and meet with people up and down Southern California, again, looking for that major backer that's going to allow PRG and the X Conference to go where it needs to go. You know who I'm like?
Who are you like, Steve?
You remember the movie Contact?
Yes.
Remember Jodie Foster? I forget the name of her character. Was it Ellie? I think it was Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how she was like out there doing her thing, you know, and real serious and committed, but then she got put out of the game by the big guys that came along, took it over.
Right.
And then she had a major benefactor come in, who was played by John Hurt, and he put her back in the game,
yep.
Right? In fact, he did it twice. I sort of need that person. I'm looking for that person.
You're looking for John Hurt, huh?
To continue to move forward at a rapid pace.
And I'm sure that there are several of those out there, Steve Bassett, and you're in the right place at the right time, and it'll all come to pass. You've been at it for a very long time. You're resilient. You keep on bouncing back, and you're going to bounce right in front of these people very soon. I have this gut feeling. On the line with us is Stephen G. Bassett, and really has just gone nonstop, basically, since I became aware of him. I guess that's what, about 8 years, 9 years now, Steve, you've been involved?
Officially 8 years, July the 4th. I arrived in Washington to set up the political approach to this on July the 4th, 1996, so it just passed 8 years.
Time flies, doesn't it? Especially...
Well, I've been having fun. I wouldn't trade it in for anything, but There's a lot of work to be done. It's only getting more important, and that's reflected by these conferences. The conferences are growing in numbers, and they're growing in size, and they're growing in quality. Let me just make a point here. You take the National UFO Conference, which I mentioned, which I'll be speaking at October 29 to 31. That's going to be at the Renaissance Hotel in Hollywood. Trust me, we're talking multiple stars here. When I mean stars, you know, like four-star hotel, very high-end. So this is going to be an unusual event. Of y'all up in Canada haven't visited Hollywood lately to get your Rodeo Drive shopping done, think about that weekend of October 29-31. Come on down and attend this conference. It's very reasonably priced. The rooms are also pretty good considering, you know, we're talking Hollywood here.
Yes.
And all these conferences, by the way, are linked up on my website, which you can jump over from, obviously, virtuallystrange.net, paradigmclock.com. And at the Paradigm Research Group site top page, you've got links to all of these. But the NUFOC conference in particular is NUFOC.org, NUFOC.org. By the way, this conference has been around for 20-some years.
It has. And under new administration management now?
Yes. A longtime researcher and emergency room doctor here in San Pedro, John Miller, is chairing this. And Lisa Davis out of San Diego is co-chairing. And they're just bringing a lot of energy and enthusiasm into this. But what is particularly interesting is that this conference offers the opportunity to bring some of the researchers in contact with some of the entertainment professionals here who we know are interested in this subject.
Now, are they A-list or B-list?
A and B-list.
Uh-huh.
Remember I mentioned that Dan Aykroyd's now official spokesman for MUFON?
Yes, and you also dropped the name Shirley MacLaine in Albuquerque, too.
Obviously, she's been interested in this issue for years. There are a lot of people, and we're going to go to great lengths to try to get them invited, get them in with VIP passes, and just give them an opportunity to meet the speakers, to see some of this, because it's so convenient. I mean, you know, they're busy people. They go off and do movie shoots, they're writing, screenplays, they're under deadlines, but here this conference is right in their backyard.
Yeah.
So you see the potential here for this conference to be not only a pretty cool event, because you might be seeing some interesting folks there, but more importantly, to maybe start finding that backing, that big money that allow this issue to be treated properly, for the work to go forward properly.
Have you tried to track down Chris Carter?
Oh, he's on the list, I can assure you. If there's anybody a VIP invite to him.
I was thinking, you know, go knock on his door.
Oh, they love it when you do that.
You're not just any old loony, you know. You're a UFO guy, and I would think that Chris Carter owes a certain debt of gratitude to the UFO loonies who don't wear aluminum foil hats.
You mean because he made several hundred million dollars off the subject matter?
Well, yeah. Plus, you know, he featured the Mutual UFO Network in at least one episode, Connie Chung's From Outer Space, or whatever that was called.
He handled it well, and he earned every penny, because it's a great show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
if it wasn't for all the work of the researchers.
Exactly.
And you, guys like you, have been putting this issue out for a little less than several hundred million for decades. They could not get those numbers.
All of the original plots and the show's Bible, a lot of that came from the early days of email and messaging conferences. The most inquisitive minds out there with computers were the writers who went out and bought the 300 baud modems and then discovered all of these message conferences as they were then. They were the first guys to go find interesting things to read and found the MUFON channels as they were then.
And Alan Hynek died a poor man. He wasn't rich. Most of them do. And so what he got for his umpteen years, he got a cameo appearance in Extraterrestrial. You know, the movie made $1 billion.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, yes.
But I'd like Steven Spielberg maybe come. Look, if anybody can get me a meeting with Chris Carter, no problemo, just tell me where and when I'll be there in my three-piece, right?
Yes.
And by the same token, if anybody in your audience knows of a entertainment professional behind the camera or in front of the camera, and this includes B-list, people that are like noted screenwriters or production people or editors, whatever, it doesn't have to be stars, that are interested in this subject and might really enjoy coming to this conference, send the contact information about this person to this email address. This would be Lisa Davis's address, who is co-chairing the conference. And it's a simple address. It's Lisa Davis, L-I-S-A, Davis, Lisa Davis, at FFARS.com. F-F-A-R-S. FARS, with two S's.
S as in Sam or F as in Freddy?
F-F as in Sam, A-R-S as in Sam.com. Lisa Davis at FARS. FFARS.com. She's the one that's going to be dealing with getting out invitations of the proper approach and production by these individuals to see if we can get them to come to this conveniently held conference for them. So this is the kind of things that are going on in these conferences. The level, as you know, the X conference was pretty substantially high in production. I'm hoping it'll be bigger and better next year.
Yes.
Tentatively scheduled for April 22, but we have to take care of business first before I start formal production. But this reflects, obviously, something going on. Now, we have some serious business to talk about tonight.
And before we start and get into the next phase, Stephen Bassett, an email here from Alfred Lemberg, and I think we covered this off briefly the last time you were on, but Alfred asks what happened to American Candidate.
Well, in spite of the fact that I got some pretty strong support, actually at some point I think I was up to 400,000 or 500,000 votes, but there was a lot of cookie-cutting script writing going on, and this was happening to a lot of the candidates. I was not the only person, where you could simply sit there and click votes in all night, right? So it was generating huge numbers for people, but then they would strip those out, right? They'd strip out all the duplicate numbers. There was nothing I could have done about it, and they made it possible to do that. The point is that when it was all said and done, I had like the third highest total number of votes. They jumped over me 24 times to get to the 24 people that they selected for the final interviews, and they went ahead with the 10, and the show's now in production. I think it may have even started on the air on Showtime.
On Showtime.
They had a couple people on there that we know. One particularly was Joyce Riley, who has done a lot of shows, including Coast to Coast. Might have even done your show. And her issue was the Gulf War veterans, and she's an activist. And I'm very happy that she's on, and she made the program.
For those of you who aren't aware, American Candidate, a program, supposedly a reality program, allowing, as you heard Steve Bassett say, 10 final candidates to be voted for by the viewing audience. And ballots were cast online. Anybody could join in and describe what their platform would be as a candidate for President of the United States. So that's what this is.
And it's a 10-week show, and they're going to run them all through their paces and everything. It would have been a wonderful platform to get this issue out.
It would have been, and it would have made great entertainment, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah. I know I could have put a million or more people in their audience. The fact is that this subject, the extraterrestrial phenomena issue, which is a little bit too awkward for them, apparently. And we don't even want to discuss about all the crazy issues that are out there that are in play. So in other words, this intellectual ghetto that I talk about frequently and will continue to talk about, that the government created for us with the ridicule wall and everything, still continues to operate. And so it was like, no, we better not go there, even though the polls show overwhelmingly the people are quite interested in the subject and up to speed on it. And so I got passed over. No problem. I got a lot of publicity out of it. My website was up on their site for like 3 months, and So I melted for all we could get, and they went on, and I hope they have a great show, and I hope Joyce O'Reilly becomes president. However, along similar lines,
yes,
we have a serious matter to discuss,
mm-hmm.
and it gets to this ghettoization issue and the way that the government has handled it and the effects it's had societally. There's a developing matter regarding Dr. Michael Salla. Your web updates list, people know about this, but your audience may not. Dr. Salla is a very soft-spoken academic, a divorced father with a child, lives with him.
Had him on the program, yeah.
You've had him on the program, very nice fellow. Here's the long and the short of it. Because he spoke at the X conference, he lost his position at American University.
Oh, he lost it already.
Oh, yeah. And because he has no position, he has to return to New Zealand. Now, I'm going to admit, being forced to return to New Zealand, not the worst thing that could happen to you in this life.
No.
In fact, I'm tempted to board the plane with him. But the fact is, it's considerably disrupting to have this happen. Now, I'm taking this personally. Let me tell your listeners a little background. The concept of exopolitics was first developed by Alfred Weber. He is the father of exopolitics, as Michael will readily admit. And Alfred and I know each other very well, and he wrote a book about exopolitics, kind of focusing more out there than in here, but whatever.
Yeah.
Alfred wrote that book from Canada because that's where he left when he started getting significantly harassed by the Defense Department, military people, because he tried to initiate a study in the Carter administration through the Stanford Research Institute. That study was shut down when the DOD representative came out to SRI and said there will be no such study, and if you guys approach or make this happen with the Carter White House, we're going to shut all your funding off. So after that, Alfred started getting a lot of people sort of following him around, and this went on for a while, and it caused him great psychological distress,
mm-hmm.
and eventually he moved to Canada. That was back in 1977, where he actually went to Canada. It was a number of years later, but it was a while ago. Exopolitics emerges when he starts publishing on the net later, and then Dr. Salla, who's also had an interest in the subject, embraced it, created a website, and started writing about it himself, truly on his own. He had taught at the school. He had been involved in some auxiliary and ancillary programs, the last of which being a Center for Global Peace and a Peace Ambassador program. He did not mix the two, but he had a website, and he spoke his mind. It's called Freedom of Speech. It's called academic freedom. It's called everything that this country is about, except with respect to certain issues. Now, the point is that Michael and I discussed him being part of the X conference. We talked about this. And I told him, I said, Michael, you may have some problems if you do this. And he said he understood that, but he felt that he was comfortable. He wasn't in a professor position. He had no tenure, of course. He wasn't teaching a class, but he's involved in some of these academic peripheral programs that are around and surround all universities. But we still knew that there was some risk. And in fact, when I started promoting him in that conference, he had not signed his new contract yet for the next round of his program. And so I deliberately kept AU references, American University references, out of the promotional material on the website to avoid adding any fuel to the fire. Eventually, he signed that program. But what happened was, because of all the promotion he was getting for the conference through me, he was approached by the Washington Post to do an interview. And they interviewed him about his views. And he said what his views were. He talked about some of his writings. This offended the people at American University. And they very quickly shut his program down. Then they informed him that he would not be renewed. He went through an initial appeal process, and that went nowhere, and now he is in a second-level appeal process. He's following the protocols. He's not out giving interviews, per se. He's trying to stay within the rules right now, and he's not being inappropriate. He did go on the Bell Show and talk about this issue.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, he's going through an appeal process. The ultimate decision is being handed down by Professor Benjamin Ladner, L-E-D-N-E-R, who's the president of American University. Okay. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. This is about one thing. This issue has been ghettoized. I don't care whether you're an astronaut, MIT grad, whether you're a Pulitzer Prize-winning professor from Harvard. I don't care if you got 65 PhDs and a couple of Pulitzer Prizes and you won the Medal of Honor. If you want to talk about this issue, you get tossed in the intellectual ghetto because, as the government says, there's nothing to this. There's nothing to it at all. It's all an illusion being followed by millions of people around the world because the government has a problem. It can't end this cover-up. because of a public relations problem it faces, it's kind of trapped, it's trying to get out, and right now it's stuck. And so it continues to play this game. Going back into the 50s, 60s, and 70s, they went to great lengths to undermine the issue, planting stories in tabloids, and on and on. And we've talked about this before, but this is 2004. Now, over the years, I know personally that countless people have been damaged because they touched this issue, particularly people in professions that have licenses. If you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, if you're a pilot, if you're a psychotherapist or any kind of a therapist, you need a license. It's very easy to get you in trouble, to go after you, because they can raise issues. You lose the license, you can't do your job. In the case of professors, if you don't have tenure, then they can get you. If you have tenure, they prevent you from getting promoted. David Jacobs, who's the great researcher at Temple, great guy, played by the rules all of these years, 20-some years at Temple, has made it quite clear. He's tenured. He'll never be a full professor. He'll be an associate professor until the end of time, even though I'm sure he's a very good professor. This is the ghetto, all right? And Michael Sala is the new victim. Now, American University has made a mistake here. All right. It's decided that it wanted to align itself with Torquemada and the Catholic hierarchy during the time of Giordano Bruno and Galileo Galilei. All right. They decided they wanted to be in that camp. They don't realize how badly they've embarrassed themselves. And when this stuff breaks, this university is going to take heavy, heavy hits. All right. It is a university dedicated to political science and academics. It is in the capital of the free world, and it just threw out a professor because they don't know enough to know that this issue is real, or if they know enough, they're in the government's back pocket. Either way, they destroyed their academic credibility, and they need to be taken to task. Now, other people have lost their ability to teach. Alfred Lemberg lost his ability to teach. Robert Williams lost his ability to teach. And there's probably a lot of others out there that have lost their jobs over this, who simply didn't make a stink of it because they wanted to go on and make a living somewhere else. Well, I want to send a message to American University and to the rest of the entities and organizations that think they can get away with this. It isn't going to happen. Every time they do this, we're going to take it and we're going to cram it right back down their throat. All right. Now, American University used to have a president. That president was forced to give up his position because he was involved in a personal scandal. It was a tragedy. He got through it pretty well, and I actually admire for it. He was no longer president of American University. He became a physics professor. Okay. Now, why do I bring this up? And I'm not going to mention his name because it's not important. Why I mention this is because in that capacity as a professor of physics and astronomy, he was frequently called on by the news organizations, not only local but national. When if a UFO thing would kind of come up, he'd be the guy they'd bring in who would sort of explain why, well, you know, this probably can't happen because, as we all know, they can't get there from here. Okay, you can't travel faster than the speed of light, and the usual things. Kind of a mild, benign debunking, put it away, move on. So that's another thing that the American University has in their now growing academic legacy on this issue, all right? This isn't going to cut it. I'm trying very hard to get on Coast to Coast right now because this message needs to get to an American audience, Coast to Coast. Michael Sala has been on. He's talked about it. But as you can see, I have stronger things to say because I'm not constrained. There is no university that can throw me out of my job, and there's no organization that can force me to go back to New Zealand. Okay? I can say any damn thing I want. And so I'd like to get on Coast to Coast and raise this issue appropriately. Hasn't happened yet. I hope that does happen. But to the extent that I can get on the air, I'm going to continue to put this out there, okay? We are not going to tolerate people, organizations, who are either too stupid to know what's going on or have decided to be complicit with the government in maintaining this cover-up, who are going to destroy people's career just because they think they can get away with it.
Stephen G. Bassett, telling it like it is, as he always does. Greg Boone, who has been on this program before, is listening down there wherever he is in California. His email says, I was talking to someone from Star Trek earlier on a few hours ago and told that person about this program. It's amazing how many people down there in Hollywood are actually paying attention via the web, and those of you listening in Hollywood, California, good to have you along. A particularly nasty email came across my screen yesterday, Steve, about Michael Sala, and it was written to Benjamin Ladner at American University. Came from someone whose name we don't mention around these parts anymore, either on this program or on the UFO updates list, but he's known as He Who Shall Not Be Named, lives on the West Coast, was busted out of his job as a therapist for hot tubbing women, and we all know who that is, those of us who have been following along for the last 3 years, but a particularly nasty piece of email coming from someone like him, slagging off Michael Sala and encouraging American University to dump him. The pot calling the kettle black. I don't know. Are you with us still, Steve?
I am.
You're thinking about that and where you're going next, no doubt.
The issue is not the right now Sala's positions. I mean, those are open for debate. Let's mm-hmm. debate them. Let's discuss them. Let's mm-hmm. do the appropriate thing. The issue is taking away position, taking away income, and particularly in the case of someone who is a visiting scholar, forcing them to leave the country basically because they can't get renewed. By the way, another university could step in here and offer him a position,
yeah,
and he would probably have to leave the country for a short time, then he could come back. This is free speech. Look, the fact is that...
Yeah, but it's only for Americans.
True.
And look at the way that John Lennon was hounded and that several other foreign nationals who opened their mouths in the wrong place at the wrong time here in, there in the United States, and they were pilloried as well.
Oh, yeah. Look, this is an adult game, and the stakes are high. We understand that. But, you know, it's a matter of whether you take these things lying down anymore or whether you simply roll over and go, well... And by the way, those that want to express a professional and polite view as to whether American is making the right choice here, there's a couple of addresses, very easy addresses, I'm going to toss out. Feel free to express yourself to the school. All these addresses have the same ending. They're .american.edu. In other words, @american.edu. And the president's address is Ladner, L-A-D-N-E-R, Ladner, @american.edu. And the head of the program that terminated Dr. Sala is Asaid, A-S-A-I-D, A-S-A-I-D, Asaid, mm-hmm. @american.edu. And then the dean of academic affairs, who's a pretty important person in all this, is I. Broder, I-B-R-O-D-E-R, again, @american.edu. So you can express your views and call and see if you think this is, if it's right, to simply reject these ideas, meaning, oh, these are unacceptable, therefore, if you talk about them, you can't be involved in this, that, and whatever. So that's the latest on that. But I'm going to be saying a lot more about this, and there's going to be a number of press releases going out, as well as congressional alerts going out on this. And anybody else who's lost their job, by the way, because of this, don't hesitate to call me. I'm more interested in hearing these stories, and I will do my best to keep them, how would you say, focused, and maybe I can be of some help.
I hope so. And doubtlessly, there are many out there who, were they able to hear your offer, would be in touch, but I'm sure that there are listeners out there with their web ears on who have friends or know of people who've been in the same situation. So you can get hold of Steve Bassett via tonight's program listing. All the links are there. Also, if you click Steve's picture in the surrounding gallery tonight's program, you'll be able to get to him there, too. Steve, we're out of time. You know, the hour blows by in the same way that a half an hour does.
Always a pleasure, though.
It is, too. And I don't know how you do it, man. I don't know where that energy comes from and that determination and that stick-to-itness. But it's good you're out there doing that because there ain't too many others. They're all too busy sitting at their screens, criticizing and carping and not contributing a hell of a lot except a fair amount of bandwidth.
I'll be up at the Bay Area UFO Expo the end of this month, end of August, and we can talk about that next show.
Next time, Steve. Enjoy the sunset down there. We'll talk to you in 4 weeks. And thank you, sir,
good night.
For everything. Good night.